The Bible reading this morning is taken from Matthew 13, and starting at verse 24, the parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" And we carry on from verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Mandy. Well, as we continue our parable series, I realised I made a bit of a mistake when I gave Mandy the NIV to read. Because this is the version we all are going to be reading from this morning. For the sake of the tape and those at the back, it's the big, fat, Pharisee version, 100% genuine. Just so you're getting this, it's absolutely rock-solid Bible translation here. We've got some genuine facts from the Pharisees. For anyone who doesn't know, the Pharisees were the religious teachers of Jesus' day. Some of them were interested in what he had to say, but a lot of them picked quite a few holes with his teaching, despite the fact that he was creator of the universe. So we're going to carry on. Mandy left us at verse 43. So we're going to start from verse 44 in the big fat Pharisee version. Pharisee Abraham improved muchly upon the previous parable by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Shall we go and pull them up?' 'Absolutely,' replied the master. 'Should have thought that was obvious. We don't want the nice good seed to be anywhere near the riffraff. Keep them nicely separate, saved by getting rid of everything that isn't nice or looks a bit weedy.'" Pharisee Abraham explained to his much cleverer followers, "It's much better to separate yourself from everything that makes you unholy. Keep it that way forever and judge those who aren't like you. The good seeds are those who keep the rules, like we've told you 100 times. We don't know if God is good, but we do know he likes elite rule keepers. He likes nice lines of wheat. So the weeds are always to be kept from disrupting the nice wheat. Easier that way to tell who's in and who's out." Then his much better disciples came to him and said, "Explain a little bit more better than that other guy." He finished by saying, remember your superior wheat and make sure everyone knows it by your moral superiority. No second chances for weeds. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Well, that was perhaps, you know me, a little tongue-in-cheek. But at home group last week, we tried doing this. We tried reversing the parables as the Pharisees would tell them. And it is amazing the way that Jesus' kingdom is upside down and topsy-turvy from what the world would suggest. So let's pray for some of that upside-downness as we begin. Lord, thank you that you give us wisdom in all things. And Lord, that as we've heard, you've named all the stars. As creator of the universe, you know what is best. You know how you created this world. You know your design. And Lord, we pray this morning that we have ears to hear what you're saying to us about how to live in this world with all of its failings, as people who shine brightly for you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So I like this sign because it basically describes my garden. This is probably why I was given this one to do. I am an expert on weeds. And there are a lot of them around. But I wonder at the serious point, how many of you preferred Pharisee Abraham's made-up parable? Because to be honest, sometimes I do. It's quite clear-cut. It's nice and simple. Bad and good. No weeds. That would be great, wouldn't it? I'd like to live in a world of no weeds. And it's just the way our brains work. We really want clear-cut answers. We really want an easy something here, and an easy something here. And that's not really what we see anywhere. It's not particularly what we see in the Bible, even. Think about how many of the Psalms we've got saying things like, why do the wicked prosper? Or then we get to the most magnificent event to date of that period in history, the event that we've just celebrated, Christmas. Jesus coming as Prince of Peace to the entire world. But a couple of years later, what did Herod follow it with? Herod followed it with a mass genocide. Even the most detailed nativity set tends to sanitize that bit, and with good reason. And then even when we get to Jesus' teaching, he doesn't seem to much answer the question of why there's suffering in the world. In Luke 13, people come and tell him, they say, something really bad happened to these people. Were they worse sinners? And he says, no. Even when this tower collapsed on people recently, they weren't worse sinners. We just all need to repent. Or what about in John 9, where there's a man born blind? And people with just the same instincts 2,000 years ago as we do came and said to him, who sinned, teacher, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And he said, well, it's so that the glory of God may be displayed in me. I am the light of the world. Well, thanks, Jesus. That's a great answer on suffering. I don't really know what the answer is. You get the point. There's not really that distinct answer on suffering that is so black and white that we feel totally satisfied with it. But as I've been reading this parable, I've been really excited by some of the things that it's taught me. So let's delve in to what this parable actually has to say about some good news, about living amongst weeds. Because we are a people, if we believe in God, if we love Jesus, who are part of that good harvest, we're living amongst a lot of weeds. Personal, things that we've caused, things that others have done to us. So how do we be a people amongst weeds? So let's start with the first section. We had the first bit that Jesus tells the parable and the second bit where he handily explains who everyone is. So that saves me a job. Thank you, Jesus. You'll see that I've just made a little point there in color to start with. Who sows the good seed? We've got the man who is the owner, who we later realize is God. And what does he sow? He sows good seed. And who sows a bad seed? It's in red. The enemy. Enemy came. An enemy did this, he replied. So this is just like point zero of the morning, before all the main points. God is good. I'm reading a book with that very title at the moment. That's one of my biggest temptations. I don't know if it's yours. I don't really struggle with the idea that God was there to create the universe. But I do sometimes struggle to believe he's good. And this parable just says it so simply. Bad things, evil, are not from God. Because sometimes our culture has got so mixed up to say, oh, this sickness, this illness, it must have been brought by God to give me this insight into that or the other. As Yusha's already made light of this morning, God can turn all things together for good, and he loves to do that with his people. But point zero this morning is that the enemy is what sows the bad. So then we get to the little bit in blue, which I hadn't really noticed despite the number of times that I'd read this parable. We know that let both grow together. But what comes first? While you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Well, that's a bit strange, because if you see wheat, and if you see a thistle, unless you're a really, really, really bad gardener, you're not going to get those mixed up. So what we're actually talking about here is something that looks so, so similar, you can't actually tell the difference until one very crucial stage, when it fruits, when it fruits. And what the word actually is in the Greek here is a kind of plant called darnel. Here's a lovely biological image. For the botanists in the room, you will hopefully understand, of course, that this is darnel, not wheat. But if you look at it, it looks an awful lot like it. So these plants are growing together, side by side. But when darnel is harvested, it's black. When it fruits, the crop is black. So we're talking about things that have the same conditions, rain and sun. But when they fruit, the fruit is very different. And what I actually love about this image is what I think it teaches us about the power of God over the power of the devil. Because you may be saying to me, well, what Jesus is probably saying here is, very sneaky devil, he made the weeds look so much like the wheat that they couldn't be told apart. Very sneaky, very bad. Do you know what it says to me? It says the devil has no power to create. He can only corrupt what God made. God made good wheat. Devil can corrupt it, but he can't make his own. So who's made in God's image? Every single one of us. Every single person on this planet. However far they've fallen, however many lies they believe, God is the creator of you. And you are made in his image, not anyone else's. So let's move over to the explanation in the next section. We have the same thing repeated again, explaining the little bits of the character. But you notice what happens by the end. The weeds are the people of the evil one. But then when we get to the end of the age, in the second bit, what do the angels actually do? They weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. So it's everything that causes sin and all who do evil, not who are. So what does that say? Everyone has got a chance of redemption in this life. And if we're Christians here this morning, you do not get to judge who goes to A and who goes to B. You get to live among people of weeds, but you get to live amongst them, knowing that God created every single one of them. And we don't get to decide. We don't get to judge. Because I think it's pretty clear from here who gets to judge. And just a little hint, it's not us. It's not us. But he does it rather well. Here's just one example of something that's really horrified me this week. just to pick on one thing that's really related to this, and that would be the internet. Has anyone ever read the bottom half of the internet and come away feeling better about themselves? Have you gone away feeling better about humanity? There have been some horrible things in the news this week. The couple in California, for example, if you've read that. And the judgment and the things that people are saying against them and damning them straight to hell, from presumably Christians who believe in this, it's very tempting to do. And in some ways it feels right. We want to be morally justified. We want to say that this is better than this. And of course it is. But do you get to decide? Is all of judgment in your hands? I don't think it is. So as Christians, this is not something that we should be participating in. I've seen pictures this week that have said things like, Obama will be in hell. Bill Gates will be in hell. Will he? Will they? Is that yours to decide? See, the internet is just one of those places where the things that we used to think are now coming out on paper all the time. And I would love it is if as a result of this, and thinking through this parable, Christians led the way in how to live as wheat amongst weeds. It's not wrong to want to take the right action and the right path in life. And it's not wrong to have a quiet word with someone who you feel is going astray. But live in a way that means the wheat and the weeds are all God's people, even if some of them have fallen very far astray. So what have we got from the parable so far? I like this sign as well. Exotic herbs, they just look like weeds. We've learned that God is good. We've learned that suffering is from the enemy, although God can turn it from good. And we've learned that we're to live amongst a people of weeds, but that we don't get to judge. We live among them, knowing that they are God's people just the same, and that everyone has a chance of redemption in this life. So you may be saying, well, what's the good news for me right now, right here? There is good news, and that is that we, as people who, let's go back to that second bit of the reading, we as people will be shining like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. But that is true now. It is just as true now as it will be in the future. Because when you're in the midst of the rubbish of life, worship is a choice. Love is a choice. Joy is a choice. Hope is a choice. And if you choose those things, then you are like stars shining in the darkness. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. Why then did God give them free will? Because free will, although it makes evil possible, is also the only thing that makes possible any love or goodness or joy worth having. Do you see that? Because you're choosing to. The stars wouldn't shine out so much if there weren't blackness around them. But you choose to shine for the Creator. You choose to worship when all around seems it far too impossible to worship. You're part of that. It's what you're born for. And I love this way of thinking about how to distinguish between the two. What does wheat do that weeds don't do? Now, we're from kind of an urban area here. I grew up in a very rural area where tarmac was an optional extra by the end of the road. How do we know when wheat or barley or a fruiting crop like that is ready? It's growing like this. Everything's growing like this. Everything's growing like this. How do we know when it's ready? Thank you, Marta. Wheat bows. Weeds don't. They keep going out straggly along that way to hide from the sun and put their little planters down a bit further. Or they just keep growing far too thin and scatter their horribleness everywhere. Wheat bows. And that's what we do. And that's what worship is. And that's what we are. We are bowing wheat. And that's how we can really celebrate in the midst of everything. Because this wheat is doing what its creator called it to do. It's full of the right sun. It's full of the right rain. It's focused its gaze on one thing. It's become fruitful. And then, of course, what does wheat do? It feeds people. And then some of it can be scattered for more. And it makes more and more and more. And an amazing, great harvest. So that is what we are this morning. We are people who can bow. Even when circumstances don't bring glory to our Creator, we can. By being wheat that bows in a field where that makes it sometimes pretty tough. And then do you know what? And this is the final point. Being bowing wheat changes your perception on the weeds. Now, don't get me wrong, we still want to teach our children who to associate with and who not to, in the sense that it's better not to put them alongside people that are going to swear. It's better to teach them really well about money so that when they go off to university, they're not going to spend all their student loan within seconds. It's really good to teach them well. But in terms of zoning out these people and us, having the Holy Spirit in you and bowing like this to someone who has forgiven us changes our perception on the weeds totally. And then the weeds become just like us, just a weed that hasn't become wheat yet, if that makes sense. So for our last 1 minute, I'd like to have a little minute's silence for you to think through the areas of your life that are a little bit strangled by weeds at the moment. An area where you need to bow if it's your time to be fruitful. I don't know what this parable is saying to each of you. But let's use this time, and then I'll pray to close, to ask God to help us work out where we are in this world of wheat and weeds together. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for all the fantastic circumstances that cause us to give you praise as our creator. But I ask you now for the chance to praise you even when it's hard, for that chance to bow and to show our world of weeds what it is to be bowing wheat. Lord, and I thank you that you meet us there as we worship, as we fulfill our creation purpose. Thank you that you meet us. And Lord, would you change hearts and would you change minds? As we look on the outside and on the inside, that we see people as you would have us see them. That with your Spirit inside us, we go forth and change the world. Not that we're robots, but that we are sons and daughters of the living God. And would you make that a truth that's real to each of us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.